I don't want to waste any time. We're still in our series entitled Made, and I want to talk about being viewed through the wrong eyes. Being viewed through the wrong eyes. Listen, y'all. Most of what we deal with as a struggle, is not based upon whether or not we have enough faith to believe God is able to do a thing. Most of it has something to do with how we view stuff. Let me put it this way. Let me put it where some people can get it. Have you ever watched, have you ever watched things cook in a microwave and you just kind of sat there for a second and you were just waiting and anticipating when that thing would get finished? It's kind of like when I love popcorn. One of my vices is popcorn. I'll be specific. Extremely buttered popcorn and cheese popcorn. I know people will try to tell me, you know, caramel and all that stuff. No. Butter, cheese. When I can't get it like I want it, I settle for some microwave popcorn. But I still make sure got plenty of butter to it and everything like that. Now, when I go to my microwave, I actually got to stay near it. Because if you know like I do, I don't care what the instructions say. You've got to pay close attention. Because you are on the verge of either having the best instant popcorn experience of your life or having to clean out your entire house because it burned. Because you waited 1 or 2 seconds too soon. Right? You got to pay attention to stuff. And all of a sudden, like me, sometimes I get to that point and I'm watching the clock and I'm watching in. And I'm like, I'm close. And just before I start to smell something, bang. I stop that thing, pull it out. I'm not going to eat any burnt popcorn. Now, how is it that I can pay attention to some popcorn and suddenly not believe that the God of this world that promises me so much stuff, I can't have what God says I can have? It all happens. It's not a faith issue. It's a sight issue. It's how I look at the thing. So how do you prove such a thing? Well, let me tell you how you prove such a thing. Let's read the Bible. You see, we've been through this area of text before, but I want you to see something. If you didn't see it last time we touched on it, I want you to see something. You got a meeting that happens here, right? And the meeting is the result of now we have looked at the promised land. We've seen it for ourselves. We know what's there. Nobody can tell us, like God told us, this land is for real good. It is for real good. It is exactly what God said it was. Houses we ain't got to build. There's development everywhere. There's infrastructure. All the stuff. God said before we even came here, you had land for us flowing with milk and honey. Everything in there is already set. We ain't got to worry about nothing but just go in and possess it. We scouted it. We seen it. We brought back evidence. It's good. But in the meeting. Here's what happened. Caleb brought a motion to the floor. And this is what Caleb said. I move that we move like God said for us to move. I just summed up the text. I'm not trying to make it hard for you. I'm just trying to sum it up. That's what Caleb said. We are well able to possess it. That was the motion on the floor. We are well able to possess it. But here's what happened. Nobody seconded the motion. Matter of fact, 10 people said, we can't do it, and we're going to tell everybody out there that we can't. But look at how they did it. This is the lie that they told. We went to the land and that there were giants in the land. That isn't the lie. They're so huge that they would devour us. That was a lie. And then they said this, which was actually true. And you'll see why it's true in a minute. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. Let that sit with you for a second. 10 people out of millions said this. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. And then the lie that was told after was, and they did too. Remember, they were in that land for 40 days without being noticed. 40 days in a place that God had promised them, and there's all these people there, and nobody ever raised a question about them being there. 40 days they were walking around, looking at everything, undetected. Which lets me know that God will allow you to actually get close to the promise before you possess it, to see it exactly as it is, to make sure that you want it. And God covered them while they were in the land, and they saw everything they wanted to see. But they came out of there feeling like they couldn't have it. So they were willing to tell a whole generation of people a lie in order not for them to witness God move in their lives and use them to what? Lay hold to a promise. Church, all of us from time to time, we look at ourselves and we deal with ourselves and we deal with our own faith journey. It is easy for all of us at some point to say, I really believe that God is able to do all these things. He's able to heal. He's able to deliver. He's able to do this. He's able to do that. He will supply. He'll do this. He'll do this. And guess what? There ain't no problem with that, because it's easy for us to say God can and will do it, because all the responsibility is now on God to do it. But when God is ready to do it through you and through me, that's when we begin to question things. We question things about ourselves. Do I have the abilities? Do I have the skill set? Do I have the right ideas? Do I have the right mentality? We begin to question ourselves. Do I have enough in gifts and skill set to make this thing happen? God, did you choose the wrong person on the wrong day? Was I in the place where somebody else was supposed to be? Are you sure that you want to use me to make this happen? Are you positive that it's me? Okay, maybe I'm in the wrong place. But every once in a while, I've asked God, am I really the one you want to do this through? Because I don't know if I'm qualified enough, if I'm this, if I'm that. And God keeps on telling us it ain't about whether or not you have it. It's about the fact that I chose you and I got it. So what happens is we wrestle with all this stuff and we begin to wrestle with the idea. Are we going to believe God or are we going to believe the lies that we're told? The only thing keeping some of us in here from everything that God promised is believing some of the lies that we believe. Oh, yes, we believe certain lies. And let me tell you those three and I'm finished. Y'all thought I'm going to take all day. See, I've learned now, even if folk don't shout, it don't take all day to get it across. See, when it comes down to it, how you see a thing will determine whether or not you're going to get it. Not that God doesn't already have it for you. God has already promised it. God has already said it's there. God has already told you the beginning and the end. It's about you navigating in the middle. So this is what you got to do. Here are three lies you need to stop listening to. And I'm done. First thing you got to stop listening to, and I forgot to just go ahead and update this because it was a typo initially, but here's the real first point. It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. Look, it's too good to be true. There's no way it's this good. 12 spies went into the land. 12 spies saw the same thing. 12 spies came out with evidence. 12 spies brought out bunches of grapes on poles that took two people to carry out. 12 spies saw everything line by line, precept by precept that God promised right before their eyes for 40 days. and 10 of them still came out with a negative report. Because if God made it, wait, you know how we do. God, if it's really you, then you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And then when God does it, you're like, eh, I don't know if it's still you. But if it is you, why don't you try this and why don't you try that? Don't you know about that story of Gideon? y'all may not know about it. He looked at himself and said, I'm less than, I'm not the one. I couldn't be the one that you want to use. Well, if you want to be using me, then I need you to do something to show me the sign that you want to use me. And every time he came up with something, God always showed up. And in the same way, there are moments when God is going to bring you exactly to what you are meant to have, what he promised you, and everything else. But ladies and gentlemen, we all go through it. So I want you to feel all right and admit that you go through it. We question whether or not it's really going to happen. God has brought us all the way to it. We're on the edge of it. We're right there. We can see it. We can taste it. We can feel it and everything else. And we begin to question because of all that we've been through in the past. You still got Egypt on your mind. You remembered what you went through back there and you still feel like a slave. It can't be this. But God delivered you from slavery. God brought you through the Red Sea. God provided while you've been in the wilderness. And now that you're right here, you're going to forfeit it because you think it's too good to be true. The same God that brought you through all that is the same God that will fulfill the promise. Yes. 10 people said, nah, we ain't going to let that happen. Look at this. 10 people out of millions said this. We see ourselves as grasshoppers. I want you to get that in your head again. 10 people out of millions said as a report, we see ourselves as grasshoppers. See, people will be like, well, the text said that they said that we would, that all of us would look. No. The text said, read your Bible. 10 people said that we see ourselves, not you, us. But what it translated to were millions of people saying, we're going to go with that report and believe that none of this is obtainable. Because you saw yourselves as grasshoppers, we're going to ride with that too. Which leads to the second lie, that you're too weak to obtain it. Do you think God would bring you through all the stuff you've been through for there not to be a payoff? I'm not asking you to be a Pentecostal church, Koji church, and shout and do laps. But every once in a while, there ought to be a shouting moment when you realize God has not brought you this far for there not to be a payoff. Why would God allow you to go through all the things you've been through, be with you in all of it, just to come up short now? And then on top of that, you're going to say that the other stuff that's in front of me makes me look weak. And there's no way that I can overcome it. Can I help you? Yeah, maybe you can't, but the God you serve can. And if I read my Bible right, the Bible says I can do all things. I hope I'm in the right place. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. I am the head and not the tail. I am an overcomer. I am not just a survivor. I'm a winner because I serve a God who has already said that it's mine. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I already got it because he said it. I believe it and it's already done. Walking around here as if all of a sudden God won't come through. Walking around with your head down like God ain't going to show up for you. I know it's bad, but you're still standing. I know it's not ideal, but you're still here. I know it doesn't look like what you want it to look like, but God has not changed his mind. So don't punk out when it looks tough. Stand in the fact that you know that if the Lord is in you, you will make it. Yes, 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 yes. There's a payoff after all this. Then you think I'm going to wait around here, suffer, and come this close and not get broke off? The devil is a liar. I didn't go through the wilderness. I didn't run from the law. I didn't go through the Red Sea. I didn't hang out in this desert with all its extremes not to get a payoff.
Well,
that's what Caleb said. We are well able to get it. We ain't weak. We serve a true and living God. But they believe the lie. Which leads to the last lie you can't listen to. I need permission to occupy. I need permission to go into what is mine. I need you to approve it. Would you please say yes? Would you be so kind as to allow your favor to come upon me so that I can go and get what God says I can have? No. Because that's what we do. That's what we do. We looking around for other people's approval. We waiting for somebody to agree with it. And they have no idea what kind of relationship you have with God.
Amen.
Now, I'm almost done, but I'm going to preach this thing like I feel it. Here's the problem with the church in general. The problem with the church in general, we're waiting for too much approval from other folk that don't know what God is even talking about. And we get so scared to actually do stuff that God said do that all of a sudden people try to say that the good that God once done is evil. And then we get nervous because if we actually do it, it might actually work. Because you got people that have become so inundated with the slave mentality from Egypt, they don't know what it's like to actually figure out what freedom tastes like. After all I've been through, you want me to ask you? No, I ain't going to ask you. I just want to find out if you're rolling with me or not. If you ain't, we ain't got to talk. But if you are, let's ride. Okay, I'm going to say it a different way. See, in 2020, a lot of people might drop off because you have already seen clearly what God has in store for you. And guess what? I want you to be prepared in advance. Everybody ain't going to ride with you to the thing that God has for you. And it's okay because they ain't supposed to go. And the reason they ain't supposed to go is because their mentality ain't changed. So why try to waste your time to convince people to change their mind when on the way there, you can't do it with them. They've got to know the God you know. And if you know God like you think you do and like you believe you do, whatever God has said is already done. It's already provided for. The way has already been made. The door has already been opened. Everything is already there. You don't got to waste time trying to convince folks. And let me prove why you don't have to do that. Ready for this? How does this story end? It's not in this text. You ready to hear how the story ends? They took the vote. Those 2 million or so adults, because the kids weren't involved, went with the majority that had grasshopper theology. And nowhere in the text, but Clarence, nowhere in the text do you see that they ever asked Caleb or Joshua, who was in the room, what they thought.
That's right.
Let me bring that back. Nowhere in the text did they ever ask Joshua or Caleb, when the report went out, what did they think? They never asked for a dissenting idea. They were the ones, they were the minority that had the truth, while the majority didn't have it. Okay. So, God said, cool, you go with the majority. I'm done with y'all. You think after 2.5 years of collective travel, provision, keeping you, providing manna, quail, water, all that stuff, that I would bring you right to where I promised you and not pay it off? Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tack on another 37.5 years to make sure that I get rid of all of y'all that went with the majority and you didn't want to pursue the truth. And I'm going to make sure that all of y'all are gone. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to preserve the babies because they didn't have nothing to do with your ignorance. And I'm going to still fulfill my promise, but I'm just not going to use you to do it. And when God got rid of those that continued to believe the lie, then they were able to possess what he had already promised. So there's some of you in here right now that have been asking God, when are you going to come through? You may not realize this, but you might have been a part of the generation that had nothing to do with the downside of stuff. You are a part of the generation that's getting ready to experience the glory that God promised from the beginning, because you know what God can do. You know how God has opened doors. You know how God has made a way. You know how God has turned things around in your life. And that's what God wants to use right now. He wants to make sure that it's not even in your mind that you got to ask permission about what he's promised, but you got to know for yourself that when he says it, he shall come through. And when he shows up, it'll be nobody but the Lord. When God shows up, you'll be able to say, it wasn't me, it wasn't my mama, my daddy, or anybody else, but it was nobody but you. Is there anybody in here that knows for themselves that it was nobody but the Lord that saved your life? Nobody but the Lord that supplied all your needs? Nobody but the Lord that picks you up, turns you around, and places your feet on sound? Is there anybody that's got a praise that's able to say, I know the Lord will take care of me. I know the Lord will make a way. I know the Lord will open the door. I know the Lord will do what he said. Somebody ought to say, yeah.